Well, man, as I was standing back there singing, I was just praying for you guys that your hearts have been ministered to tonight and will continue to be ministered to. So much of life is about surface level things, friendships, dating, entertainment. And this is at least an hour and a half out of your week that you can set aside to think about the most important things in life. I mean, eternity. And a God who has existed for all of eternity, who created you, made you, watched you turn away from Him, watched you spit in His face, turn to sin, embrace sin, but came after you nonetheless. Sent His Son Jesus to come and live on this earth as a human, to relate to us, to show us His love, and to fully express His love through His own sacrifice, paying the penalty that we are due for our sin, and then giving us a gift of eternal life. And just to reflect on that, to sing on that, to remind ourselves of that, to be ministered to by beautiful stories like Carly's and Micah's and the lyrics of these songs. And now you get a chance to be ministered to a little bit more. So I'm going to have the four young women come up here to the stage. These are, yeah, you can clap for these girls. Yeah. So if you're just joining us tonight for the first time in a while, we've kind of been doing this thing for 2 weeks. We talked about, grab the stools, girls, and just set them out right here. We talked about manning up and what it means to be a man and then how to become a man. If you missed that, go listen to it online. Then last week, we kind of gave a definition of what a godly woman is. And it's real easy to know what a godly woman is, but I think it's much harder to live as a godly woman. And so these are students that came through high school here in Dallas. They went to Watermark. They were in small groups. They sat where you sat. And now two of them are freshmen in college. Two of them are seniors in college. And so I asked them to come. They are living as godly women, and they have experienced all the same challenges that you're experiencing and some that are ahead of you. And I said, hey, will you come up here? I'm going to ask you some questions. Will you help these students know, hey, here's how to live as a godly woman through your example, through your stories, through what God has done in your life? So let's just take a minute and introduce each of you guys. The context for the definition of godly woman came out of the book of Ruth. And this is just a little two verses from Ruth. We'll put it up on the screen that we highlighted last week. If you missed last week, go listen to that audio online. Read the book of Ruth, chapters 1 through 4, and you don't even have to listen to the message. Just read the story. But part of the story is that Ruth lost her husband, and she was left with just her mother-in-law because she lost her father-in-law. And her mother-in-law left her hometown, her country, to go back to where the mother-in-law was from. And mother-in-law said, Ruth, just stay here. This is your country. This is your home. These are your people. You can find another husband. But Ruth had learned of Naomi, her mother-in-law's God, and had made a commitment to him to care for her mother-in-law. And so she said this, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I'll be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us. And she showed us through her example what a godly woman is. Primarily in this verse, that she's secure. She knows exactly who she is. She knows where her allegiance is, where her devotion is. And it is to God and the calling that He has for her life. And out of her security, she demonstrates a servant's heart. And she demonstrates submission to authority. And she was stunning. And she caught the attention of a godly man named Boaz. And she was blessed with a legacy that lived on far after her. You see, her and Boaz had a son. And that son was named Obed. And Obed had a son named Jesse. Jesse had a son named David. And we all know the story of David from the Bible. And Jesus Christ was part of the line and the lineage of David. But it started back with Ruth. And so God blessed her immensely. And these are four young women that have been blessed as they've sought to live godly lives. So, ladies, from the story, here's what we're going to do. If you want to take notes, I would encourage you guys, take notes. We're going to just notice something from the story of Ruth. If you don't know the story, you will look it up and you'll understand where we're coming from. And then I'm going to ask them a question about it. So Ruth trusted God and allowed him to define her identity. All right? So I want to ask each of you, introduce yourselves and talk about your relationship with God, how it's defined your life. You probably need a microphone, don't you? They're sitting there looking at me like, what do I do? So we'll start down here. Just introduce yourself and take it away.
I'm Audrey Johnston, and I grew up in Dallas. I went to Highland Park High School and went to Arkansas freshman year and then transferred to A&M. And I am a senior at A&M. I came to know the Lord at a very young age. Grew up with a really strong Christian family, and kind of a big part of my story is just going off to college and how it was finally a choice that I had to make, and if that was going to be my own faith or just a faith that I had always went to by default, and so I got to choose for it to be my own faith.
I'm Mallory McCarty, and I also graduated from Highland Park High School in 2009, and I'm a senior at the University of Georgia. I became a Christian when I was probably around the seventh grade. Didn't make any sense to me, but thought, why not? I'm going to dive into it and see where this leads me. And then I started coming to Watermark when I was in high school, got plugged into a small group, started to learn what that looked like, what walking with the Lord looked like, had a great Bible study leader, Allie Penuel. she's over there. And, just started to learn the ropes. And then when I got to college, it was time for me to make my faith my own. And so, yeah, that's where I am.
My name is Maddie Buchanan. I'm a freshman at Baylor. I went to Trinity Christian Academy. And I've always grown up in, like, a Christian home. I have wonderful, amazing parents who really instilled in me the love of Christ and really showed me kind of what it means to be a Christian. But it wasn't around until sixth grade I decided to accept Christ on my own, but then it wasn't until later in high school, like junior, senior year, when I kind of learned what it meant to really live it out because I wanted to, not because of what my family taught me. And so just transitioning into college is where I've really had to learn how to live it out and make sure that others know that it's my faith.
My name is Carly English. I am a freshman at Clemson University in South Carolina. And I went to Trinity Christian Academy as well for my whole life. I was involved in Watermark, got plugged into a small group, I think my sophomore year. And that just really helped, like, mature my faith a whole lot. One of the biggest things was, like, I went to South Carolina knowing no one. And that just really, like, matured my faith and helped me to rely on God in everything that I do. So.
All right, well, let's jump. Let's jump right in, and let's talk more about Ruth. And not every single one of them is going to give an answer to every single question, but where they have something valuable to add, they'll add it. Before we move on, quick question. Do you guys recommend waiting until college to take ownership of your faith?
No.
Just checking. All right. Here we go. Ruth didn't conform to the standards of other women. You see, Naomi, her mother-in-law, had two sons. And there was another lady who was married to the other son. And when Naomi left, that lady stayed. But Ruth did not do what her peers were doing. She carved her own path following the Lord. So the two questions I have for you guys are these. Have you ever been tempted, or how have you been tempted to conform to the standards of the young women around you? And have you ever had to make decisions that went against what everyone else was doing? So share your experiences related to this.
Okay, well, I'll go first. My freshman year at Georgia, I went through Rush and I joined a sorority, and it ended up being a really wild one where drinking was the norm. There weren't a lot of Christians in it. And not really knowing anybody at Georgia, I just saw this party scene for what it was and thought, hey, that's what I need to do to make friends. So that's what I did. And it was... Yeah, I conformed to what everybody else around me was doing because I thought that was going to find me friends, that was going to find me happiness. It looked like it was working for everybody else, so I gave it a shot.
And were you in the party scene in high school?
Right. No, I wasn't. In high school, had never touched drinking, had always, like, looked down on it. It wasn't anything I ever thought I would get into in college. It completely blindsided me. That's how I became, and I I hated it. On the outside, I loved it. It looked like I was having fun. But I came back to my dorm room every night just lonely and didn't have friends, and it wasn't the life that I thought it was giving me. And so, yeah, it's just amazing how that can just sneak up on you. Being a Christian in high school, I didn't think that would ever be a problem in college, but totally was.
And Mallory was a good girl in high school. I mean, she really was. And so, give them, what? Is that weird? What I mean is like goody two-shoes. What? Goody. Good, she is good. So Mallory, hey, give them a specific picture. Like, what does it look like to go to college and get into the, like, the first time you got invited to go to the bars or got offered, you know, like, and then what became the norm? What became the routine?
Well, at first, like, it totally freaked me out. I wasn't surrounded by partying in high school. It, was never a temptation for me. So when I was first around it and, like, we had our first social with our sorority and everybody was drinking, it freaked me out and I didn't do it. And it took a couple of months for me to, like, finally kind of warm up to the idea of it. But after that, it just became like life, and it was really, like, it was scary at first, but then after a while it, like, wasn't scary and it felt normal, but it wasn't normal. Like, it felt normal on the outside because everybody else is doing it. But yeah.
Yeah. So it was normal for the world, but not for the Spirit of God that lived inside of you. You knew it wasn't normal.
Yeah. It was very, like, conflicting interest in that. Cause I came back every night feeling so guilty about it. And, like, granted, like, I wasn't going as crazy as a lot of other people around me, but that didn't matter. I was, like, kind of keeping the partying to a minimum just to kind of get by, but still it sucked and it wasn't fun. And yeah.
All right. Who else wants to answer these questions?
Okay, I went to TCA, and I had never really been exposed to much. Let's just say that I was pretty much in a bubble. And I went to college, and I joined, like she did, I joined a sorority that is just not full of godly women. And so the first weekend that I was there, it was like everyone went out to this thing called Rush Blowout, and it was like one of the craziest things I've ever been to. But so basically, like, my first weekend there, I went out and I started hanging out, or I went out with some of my sorority sisters, and we were all in the dorm, and they whipped out the alcohol, and they, like, shoved a shot in my face, and they were like, do a shot. And, like, that was the point where I had to be like, I don't drink. And I kid you not, like, it was something from a movie. They were all just like, and so that was, like, the first time that I've ever felt, like, persecuted for my faith or, like, judged for the way I live. But it's been so rewarding just to, like, hold my ground and, like, see the impact that I've had on people. But it was definitely a decision that I had to make, and you can either go one way or the other. And I couldn't be happier that I chose to go the right way.
Just describe in more detail, like you did earlier, like, they didn't just gasp. Like, how else did they respond? And then tell what happened down the road.
They gasped and they laughed. And I kind of got, like, judged, shoved to the side, kind of, like, I don't know. I was just very looked down upon. I felt like I was different and weird for not doing it. It was a very different experience. But recently I've started to see there's been girls in my sorority that have, like, kind of gotten over the initial party thing, and they've come to me and been like, we see that you don't drink and, like, you have a good time, and, like, we want to do that too, and, like, we don't enjoy drinking, and, like, why do you do this, and, you know, we want to hang out with you on the weekends instead. And so that's been so rewarding to see, like, I've made an impact on them and they long for the way that I act.
And you're just getting started, and you're just now finishing your first semester your freshman year. Anybody else want to speak to that one, or we move on to the next one? All right, good. Then the next thing says that Ruth honored the elders in her life. She honored Naomi, and she served Naomi. She honored Boaz, and served him on his property. And so the question I want to ask you guys is, how's God used people older than you and honoring them to shape your life?
For me, I have two older sisters and a great mom who have been great role models, and also Allie Pinuel is my small group leader. And I just think it's so crucial to have those older women in your life, because they've been through the exact same struggles and insecurities that you've been. And so it's such a neat thing, just being able to talk to older people. And I'm lucky to be really close with my family, and so I've always been able to ask them just advice. And even though a lot of people don't have that relationship with their mom where they feel comfortable just talking about boys or clothes or just anything, I've always been lucky to have that. And so if you do have that, it's so important to take advantage of those older women, because they do shape your life and they teach you so much. And when you mess up, it's okay to tell them, because they've messed up too and they get it and they're able to walk you through that.
Basically, I just want to reiterate what Audrey said. Like, my mom is amazing too. And also my small group leader, Sarah, has been with me and Carly since like sixth grade. And she's just one of those girls I feel like I can tell anything. And there was a time when Carly and I were both in a relationship. We knew we were both in different relationships we knew we shouldn't be in. And Sarah was just, she was always there. She was the one that came to us and was like, I'm telling you this because I love you, but like, you know, you shouldn't be doing this. And so we need to really take care of the situation. And it was cool to have her, because I knew that she wasn't trying to get mad at us or make us feel guilty about ourselves, but she really was wanting the best for us.
Audrey, anything more specific ways you've been shaped by your mom or your sisters, or you know, like specific issues or things that they've spoken into, given you encouragement?
I think for me, one of the things is just kind of dating or lack of dating in high school, and just being able to talk to Allie or my mom and sisters, and them being able to, from experience, say how they've been hurt. And just sometimes you get caught in the small thing that you're struggling with right then, and you're not able to take a step back and look at the bigger picture. And having my sisters and mom and Allie all be able to say, but look at the hurt that God saved you from, or look at just specific things that God's doing through those insecurities that I'm not able to see because I'm caught in the middle of it. But them, as older, wiser women, are able to bring me back and show me the big picture and just see, like, okay, God is doing something, and just kind of encouragement that God's with me in those little areas that I'm struggling.
All right, let's move on. So Ruth was a hard worker, and she served her mother-in-law, Naomi. And so, you know, she took her responsibility seriously. She worked hard. So how have you seen hard work, or perseverance pay off in your life as you've strived to be a godly woman who takes her responsibility seriously?
Okay, well, like I said, first semester of college, kind of dipped into the party scene. Got out of it by second semester for a multitude of reasons. But my sophomore year, when I was living in the house, my roommate wasn't a Christian. And I think just, like, being persistent with her, continuing to love her, like, I didn't think I was getting anywhere with her. And I definitely kind of saw the fruits of that. The beginning of my junior year last year, she came up to me and she just, like, let me know. She's like, you're a great influence in my life. And, like, at the time, I thought she was annoyed by me and didn't like me. And, I mean, we were great friends, but at the same time, like, our lives looked completely different. So, I mean, that's, like, hard work in a sense. Like, just being persistent and, like, loving her, but not, like, exactly hard work.
Right now, Baylor does deferred rush, and so I don't get to be in a sorority until the spring. But one thing for a semester is you have to make a certain GPA to be in a sorority. And so I would say, like, literally working hard right now in school and trying to make good grades so that I get that physical reward in the end. But also, like, it just does feel good to, you know, like, succeed because you've earned it, not just because someone, like, gives it to you. So I'd say, like, working hard in school is a way that I've tried to persevere.
All right, well, now the claws come out, all right? Ruth actually served. It's okay, we're fine. Ruth actually served with other women, and she took a position that was a humble position of following behind a worker in Boaz's field, just picking up the scraps. She basically was a trash collector, and that's what she ate, and that's what she fed to her mother-in-law, Naomi. So she didn't compete. She didn't try to get a leg up. And, you know, guys notice that women are notorious for competing with one another. And she was content in a lowly and humble position. And so I want each of you, probably each of you, to speak to this one. How have you been tempted to compete with other women? And then what have you had to find contentment, or have you ever had to find contentment in a lowly situation that you wouldn't have picked?
We kind of talked earlier about just a small example of competing, kind of like date parties in college, or maybe like homecoming or date things in high school that y'all can relate to, but just kind of that week of when the guys start asking and you don't know if you're going to get asked, and when your best friend does get asked, kind of being jealous instead of fully enjoying that happy thing with her. And so just as women, it's so easy to compare and to see what other people have and what we don't. And instead of being so happy for the great things they have, we wonder why we don't have those too. And so just a huge thing is just comparison and learning that that's not where you're going to find life. And even if you get those same things, they're not going to bring you joy if you go about it in a mean or malicious way. And so just kind of, it hurts a friendship when you try to compete. And so to have good friendships, you need to just be happy for each other and know that the Lord's going to take care of you in his own way, kind of.
My senior year, the Lord really showed me to be, or like taught me how to be content. Eighth grade through my junior year for 4 years, I was in cheerleading, and that, I thought that that was like my life. And then my senior year, I got cut, and that just really like broke me inside, and it really just like took a toll on who I thought I was. And looking back on it now, like, the Lord just really showed me to not put my worth in like the little things and the worldly things and what girls thought of me or like my position. Because like, honestly, now I've only been in college for like 3 months and literally no one cares if you were a cheerleader in high school. So, and so like, that's just been amazing for me to look back and see that like those things really don't matter. And like, God just showed me to be content, where he puts me rather than like my idea of what is success.
Maddie?
I think just right now, this whole semester, trying to meet older girls who are in sororities so that you can kind of like have an in to whatever sorority you want to be in. There was a time one day my roommate told me, she was like, hey, I'm going out with this and this person at this time. And I looked and I was like, I'm going out with that girl at that time. Like, that's not, that can't be right. And we like went back this conversation back and forth about like who's going to hang out with her. And finally I was just like, you know, it doesn't even matter. I should probably do homework anyways. And so she went to hang out, but it was like a really awkward situation. And I just like kind of had to take a step back and just realize like, that doesn't even matter. Like, like I don't want to let something that simple get in the way of this relationship I have with my roommate. So it was just kind of like a competition, like whether or not we were going to get to hang out with the older girl, which didn't even matter.
And Maddie, also talk about contentment. Remember what you said in the back about Baylor and A&M?
Oh, yeah. Okay. When I was applying to schools and colleges, I was, like, my heart was set on A&M. I had to go to A&M or I wasn't going to college. Like, it was a huge deal to me. And turned out I didn't get into A&M. And so I didn't have that option. And I ended up going to Baylor. And the first couple weeks of being there, I just hated it. I did not want to be there. I wanted to go home. I had decided that I was going to transfer at semester, like, just did not want any part of it. Then I really decided, like, okay, well, I'm here for a semester, so I might as well just try and make the best of it. And it ended up, I made some incredible friendships. Girls I didn't even expect to meet, I met within the first couple of days of school. And it feels so blessed, and I couldn't imagine, like, my life without them or my life at A&M. Having to deal with not getting into this, my dream school, and now that I'm at Baylor, it's honestly one of the greatest blessings that I've ever had.
So, Maddie, which is better, your plans for your life or God's plans for your life?
God's plan, for sure.
She got it right. Anybody else want to talk about contentment, or we move on to the next one?
I had a very similar story to Maddie. I got waitlisted at A&M, and it was devastating. That was where I was going. That was the plan. thought I was for sure going to get in. Didn't happen. So I ended up committing to Georgia. And just like, I mean, our stories are so similar. But looking back 3 years from now, like I thought that I was going to go to A&M and have the same life that my sister had. And I loved her life. Like, I thought it was so cool. But at Georgia, like, I completely paid for my own way. And my story was written completely differently. Yeah, like, it was rough at first. But, like I could not be happier with where I am. And, like, who the Lord's put in my life. And, like, it was completely written and designed by him. And so it's really cool.
How's God using you in Georgia?
For a while, he was using me in my sorority, and now, like, it's just so cool because, like, he's put so many awesome people in my life who have introduced me to things I never thought I'd get into. One older girl that he put into my life, she introduced me to Young Life, and now I'm a Young Life leader, and I didn't do Young Life in high school. I didn't know anything about Young Life, and, like, I never thought that I would be able to hang out with high schoolers that didn't know the Lord and be able to share my story with them. And I mean, that could have happened at A&M, but it happened at Georgia. And it's just been the coolest thing to be a part of.
So the moment everybody's been waiting for, Ruth didn't throw herself at men. She made herself available to the right kind of man. She was patient. So how have you been tempted to get attention from guys in a worldly way? And how does a godly woman approach dating?
Okay. Well, definitely, like, one of the biggest things I've noticed is that a lot of girls try and, like, dress a certain way to get attention from a guy. Especially, I noticed it the first weekend that I, like, went out with crazy people. And, they definitely, like, dress a certain way to get their attention. They act a certain way. They become very, like, flirtatious and loud and just all to get attention. And it's just not, like, a worldly way. And I don't know. That's one of the things I've seen.
I think there's also, among girls, kind of a pressure to be flirty with people. And you kind of have to learn how to play the game. And you see the girls who always have a boyfriend, and you kind of want to know, like, okay, how did they do that? And you see what they do, and you try, and sometimes it might not work for you as it works for them, but I think as girls, it really is just a pressure to act a certain way in front of guys, and I know for me, I haven't been blessed with being able to be a very good flirter, and so just kind of still learning, still working on that, but but I don't think that it, like, if we have to learn
that is not a blessing.
That I'm blessed to not be a good flirter, I guess.
There you go.
But just learning how to just trust God, that pressure isn't on us to draw that attention from guys, that his timing is perfect, and if we trust him, we don't have to act a certain way. We can just be ourselves and trust that he's going to take care of us in whatever way that looks like.
I want you guys to remember the answers that you have to these questions, but a quick follow-up, we'll segue, we'll come back. Have you ever done anything that's, you're like, that was not me? Like, that was not myself in order to get attention from a guy or anything like that?
Yes. probably a week ago one night, I was hanging out with some girls and we were baking a cake and it was just like a fun time. And one of the girls had the idea to take it over to this guy's house. And, like, this guy, I really think he is so cute. And I was just so, just like, yes, let's go. And so we're baking this cake, and one of my other friends is like, we should write Call Me Maybe on it with a little winky face. And so we're all like, okay, yeah, that's cute. And then she was like, we should put someone's phone number on it. And of course, my number was written on the cake, and I was the one that had to carry it over to this guy's house. And so I, like, walk in. It's not just me, it's all of us. But, like, we walk in, and I have the cake, and I'm like, oh, yeah, here you go. And he just kind of looks at it, and he's just, like, staring at it. And he's just like, what is this? And so they just, like, kind of, like, we, like, all just left. We didn't know. We were so uncomfortable. And so we, like, left, went back to this girl's house. And as we were walking back, I was just thinking, like, why the heck did I do that? That is not me at all. I do not want him to have my phone number. But it happened, and it was just so embarrassing, and I just, it was not worth it at all.
What was his name? I want to look him up. No? Okay. It's worth a try. Any other stories like that, girls, on just a moment where you're like, oh, that was not me. Why did I do that? Just to get attention.
I'm sure there are, but I don't know if I can think of them right now.
Okay. Well, back to the questions on the screen. How have you been tempted to get attention other ways? Or how does, like, what are the proactive things? Like, how does a godly woman approach dating in high school and college? Like, what's your mindset? What are your standards? What are, you know?
I guess something that I've had to learn is just patiently. Like, casual dating, just for dating, is, like, not, it's just, it's not healthy to anybody. Even if, like, the person is a Christian, like, whether the boy or the girl is a Christian, just be patient about it. And I know I was telling them, like, a group of my really close girlfriends and a group of our close guy friends were staying together one night and kind of just, like, hashed all that out. And they completely agreed, like, there's just, you just got to be patient with it and don't rush into it just because you want a date. It's not worth it.
Anything else, girls? Yeah.
One of the things that I always, like, try and keep in the back of my mind, a lot of times, like, I want a boyfriend or, like, I just want a guy. And so one of the things that I remind myself is that, like, you need to be, like, consistently pursuing God and following after God. And if you are, if you love God with all your heart, you're going to attract guys who love God with all their heart and are pursuing after Christ in the same manner that you are. Versus if you go to seek for guys in places that are not full or not pleasing to God, like, you're going to attract guys who are not pleasing to God. And so that's what I just constantly have to remind myself of, is, like, I need to be surrounding myself with good people. Therefore, like, I will attract the kind of guy that I'm looking for.
One analogy that I've been told a couple of times, and I just really like it a lot. One of my good friends told me, if you are running to the cross, you should look to your right, and the man that is running to the cross at the same pace you are, that's the one that's meant for you. You should both be headed towards the Lord and on the right path, and that'll be the relationship that you're meant to be in.
And really, if you have that one standard, like, that's all you need. That's great. All right, we've got one more here. Ruth was blessed. We talked about how she was rewarded for her faithfulness. And so on the flip side of that, you know, if you're not a godly woman, there are consequences. So the two questions here, you know, have you experienced or witnessed painful consequences of ungodly living? And how have you been blessed or rewarded as a result of godly living?
Okay, for me, a big part of my story, how I kind of mentioned earlier, was freshman year. And a lot of it kind of had to do with the same, like, drinking. And in high school, I was never tempted by that. I always thought, like, I would never drink before I'm 21. Like, that's so wrong. And kind of as high school went on, my friends started to. And at first, I was just so mad that they would do that after we had all decided we wouldn't, and just kind of upset and judgmental. And then I was like, well, maybe it's okay for them. Like, I don't want to be so judgmental. That's not right either. And then kind of convinced myself, like, well, it's not that big of a deal. So summer after senior year, kind of started drinking, and I was like, well, it's not that big of a deal. I don't know why it matters. Freshman year kind of continued that, and also freshman year just was lonely and sad, and I had never put two and two together. And it's not so much about the drinking. It was more about where my heart was through that all, and I wasn't concerned with seeking the Lord on my own. I was, like, finally on my own. I could not go to church if I wanted to. I could hang out with whoever I wanted to. And so just learning through that how painful and just sad I was that year. And it all resulted because I was not following the Lord. And I didn't really realize that until I had finally had a really hard conversation with my parents one night and just being honest with things that I had been doing and just seeing my relationship with them mend, because that year it's hard to be close to someone if you're lying to them. Just seeing that mend and also finally realizing, like, I want the Lord. I want what He has, and I haven't found that elsewhere. And I've been so sad because of that, and just kind of seeing that pain and then seeing Him just always be there waiting for me. So when I came back to Him, it was just like an incredible just like learning to have that relationship and depend on Him and find that love from Him, because only He can provide that.
I have two ways that I've really just been blessed as a result. The first I kind of already touched on, that, like, I've already had several people in my sorority, like, come up to me and kind of ask why I live this way, why I don't drink, why I don't party, and all that stuff. And it's just been so cool to see, like, the impact that I've had on them. But the biggest way, I went potluck with my roommate, and I ended up with a great girl, but she is not a Christian. And she, about, I think, 2 weeks ago, she sees me do my devotional every day and all this stuff. And so we actually got into, like, a two-hour-long conversation just about faith and what I believe. And she, like, asked me pretty much every defeater belief question, like, you can think of. And we really just, like, tried to hash out some of the questions. And it was just amazing to see how, like, God placed her in my life. And, like, I couldn't have honestly asked for a better situation. Like, she's so receptive of what I have to say. And it's just been amazing to see, like, I've only been there for 3 months. And, like, God has already just flung open doors through so many, like, avenues to spread his word like I've never had when I was here in Dallas. And so I can't wait to see, like, if I've only been here for 3 months, like, how much more he has in store.
Well, there's so much more that you guys could say, but we're getting to a place where we need to wrap up. I'd encourage all of you guys, text your moms and say, pick me up 20 minutes later and come meet these girls afterwards and thank them for being here. They are godly young women. But in my book, there's one that surpasses them all. And her name's Allie. And I want to bring my wife up here. I want to introduce you to her. She's very pregnant. She doesn't just have a gut. We're going to have a baby a week from tomorrow or sooner. And it's going to be a girl. A godly young woman. And so, godliest woman that I know. And she doesn't like speaking in front of people. She doesn't like being up on stage. But I asked her just to come up and share just a little bit of her story. And one of the things that I admire the most about her is that she has been devoted to the Lord from a very early age and has loved him, has loved his word, has loved people who love him, has put herself under leadership to shepherd her and grow her and mature her. And I respect that about her so much. And so I just said, hey, come share a little bit of your formative years. And then she's going to give you just a great application to take out of here tonight. So Allie, take it away.
Hi, guys. The thing that I was going to share is that in high school, I was blessed to already know the Lord, and I had a pretty strong faith. I was pretty, you know, confident in who I was, but at the same time, just being a girl, you know, insecurity and comparison can always creep in. And so a friend of mine sent me this poem one time, and I think emailed it to me, and it really had some truths that, you know, I felt like I needed to hear whenever I could feel those insecurities or just feelings of, like, you know, kind of, why has God made me this way, or why, you know, kind of where do I fit in? So a friend of mine sent me this poem, and I really took a lot of it to heart. It really showed me how God viewed me and how he had created me to be unique and just really created me in a special way. And so, I'm just going to read it to you. And then David's going to go from there. So it says, I made her. She is different. She is unique. With love, I formed her in her mother's womb. I fashioned her with great joy. I remember with great pleasure the day I created her. I love her smile. I love her ways. I love to hear her laugh and the silly things she says and does. She brings me great pleasure. This is how I made her. I made her pretty and not beautiful because I knew her heart and she would be vain. I wanted her to search out her heart and to learn that it would be me and her that would make her beautiful. And it would be me and her that would draw friends to her. I made her in such a way that she would need me. I made her a little more lonesome than she would like to be, only because I need for her to lean and depend on me. I know her heart. I know if I had not made her like this, she would go her own chosen way and forget me, her creator. I have given her many good and happy things because I love her. Because I love her, I have seen her broken heart and the tears she has cried alone. I have cried with her and had a broken heart too. Many times she has stumbled and fallen alone only because she would not hold my hand. So many lessons she's learned the hard way because she would not listen to my voice. So many times I've sat back and sadly watched her go her merry way alone, only to watch her return to my arms sad and broken. And now she's mine again. I made her and then I bought her because I love her. I have to reshape her and remold her, to renew her to what I had planned for her to be. It has not been easy for her or for me. I want her to be conformed to my image. This is the high goal I have set for her because I love her.
So this picture, is a photograph taken just this week by Allie's mom in her childhood home. And it's a piece of construction paper with marker, and it is taped to Allie's mirror. And it was there when she went through high school, and it stayed there. And I know it's there because when we go to visit for holidays and things like that, I see it. And it is a reminder of the each of those has a passage of scripture that goes with it, and just the way that my wife was shaped by her trust and dependence on God's word and on him for all of her life. And so my encouragement to each of you, if you go to moreshoreline.com, you click curriculum, it says, you know, man up, godly woman. You scroll down and we've just pasted that whole poem, that whole kind of thing right there in it. And I want you to go read it again. And what your heart needs to hear, ladies, I want to encourage you. Grab a note card, grab a piece of construction paper, grab some markers. Do it with your small group. Have a little artsy party. And put up where you can see it on your car dashboard, on your mirror, you know, wherever it is, above your bed, on your nightstand, where you can see it every day to remind yourself where true beauty comes from. And live your life as a godly woman. Don't just know what one is, but apply it. Let me pray and we'll get you out of here after a few announcements. Lord, I thank you so much for these young women that are up here. I thank you for the way you have blessed their lives and blessed others. I thank you that they have depended on you for all of their lives, for the salvation of their souls, and for their daily living, God. And I pray that their example would be multiplied in this room, and from there, multiplied both in this city and all the high schools that were represented here. But God, I pray that this room would be a powerful movement of people that you send out all over this country onto college campuses that get potluck roommates that don't know you and that start Bible studies and sororities that are more concerned with taking shots than they are with knowing their Savior. And God, I just pray that guys and girls from here would go all over the country, all over the world, and that there would be a movement of your Spirit as a result of the godly living and obedience of your saints. So would you not only love us and draw us into relationship with you, would you use us as instruments of your glory? And I pray this in your Son Christ's name. Amen.